Hey, this is Justin with Technology Rocks, along with T-Bone.
Rock!
No.
Sorry, I couldn't help it.
No, don't do that ever. Don't.
Are you ready
to
rock?
This is your Monday! Podcast.
Hey!
You should have came in at the same time when I was doing the other thing at the same time, but no. All right, it's your Monday podcast. It's Monday.
That was the remix. I was trying to be like P. Diddy.
Here on your...
No,
I don't
sir.
Think you want to be like P. Diddy anymore there, Chief. You better be... You don't want to be on that
I'm
list.
Talking about
That's
when he invented
list.
The remix, quote
So
unquote.
Your Daily Drive movie news never-ending story is actually getting a new film adaptation. For those of you that feel like crying and watching a total emo movie where soft animals and horses die all the time.
Wow. Hey, no, man, that sounds like reality.
Alien Romulus actually just released its trailer. Is that still Ridley Scott? Is he?
Yes.
Okay, so he's still doing it. All right. So that
it wouldn't really. I mean, I guess somebody else could come in, but I really just don't think it would be aliens with or alien or whatever without him.
Yeah, and I think this is actually a true Alien sequel. So it's basically everything.
So it's not like Covenant and Prometheus?
I don't know. You'll have to look that up. I don't know if this ties in. I think this is actually tying into the Alien canon, not because the Prometheus and Covenant were prequels to Aliens, so that's kind of where
well,
the
they
aliens
were kind of like
from.
Showing you where they came from, because
right.
and showing you more about the architect.
Right. Yeah. No. And I think this is more of that. Furioso Mad Max Saga is getting ready to release. A lot of people
are they bringing back the original actor for? Furiosa?
No, because this is supposed to be a prequel. So she's supposed to be younger in this movie. So they're not bringing back
Charlize
Theron.
Well, that goes back to our whole AI thing. Can't they de-age her?
No, they didn't choose to go that route on this one. Actress by the name of Anne Taylor-Joy in this particular one. But yeah, no, they're not going to bring the original character back. And then Chris Hemsworth is coming in. But this is going to be a prequel to the Fury Road one that did very, 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 very well in cinema. So
for when it came out, like the
well, the cinematography was just it won.
Well, it was
award
it was also
award.
Very true to the original series yeah. with the Road Warrior.
We won't talk about Thunderdome. That's you know, we'll stay away from that.
Hey, man. One man, two men enter, one man leaves. Come on now.
Upcoming episode of your Teen Titans fan. They actually have a live action movie being planned, so that'll be a lot of fun.
See how that goes, man.
Well, the TV show wasn't bad. So the Crow trailer has released. I think we covered that on the weekend recap a little bit. A lot of controversy behind this trailer. I don't know if you've seen it or not.
But that character, I haven't seen the trailer yet, but that particular actor, he did
really freaking good.
He did good on the Netflix series where he played like a vampire character. I'm trying to remember.
He's also
it.
In the Derry series. There's a new series called Derry.
Yeah, but he also...
That's Netflix, right? Or is that a movie?
Yeah, yeah. Derry is going to be, if I'm not mistaken, like you said, that's going to be Netflix. But also, you know, he played Pennywise in the reboot of It, and he was amazing.
Yeah, no, the...
So I'm definitely going to give him a fair... a fair watch when he does The Crow, because I mean he may play it in a way that we didn't realize we needed to see.
Yeah, no, so
I know some of the original sequels to The Crow were horrible. I didn't like, you know, City of Angels or any of that crap.
No, personally. Now some sad news for our Cape Crusader fans out there. Batman Part 2, that was with Robert Pattinson, has been pushed to 2020. 6 now, so put the bat signal down for now, because he's
Damn
not
it, now he's bringing
coming.
My cape out.
Yeah. He's not coming. Venom 3 is officially has a title. Not that we needed another Venom, because Part 2 was that bad. But Venom 3 officially titled Venom The Last Dance. So this is probably one of Sony's last attempts at trying to make a superhero movie.
Got another like horror film coming out.
What's that?
That Abigail, and it's supposed to be like seriously rated R.
Abigail?
Yeah.
Okay. The vampire horror? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. With Taylor, Tyler.
Like it's supposed to be like very bloody. Like I'm saying like Japanese horror.
Interesting. So yeah, no. So quick movie news. There's actually been some movie news released about Top Gun 3. Apparently, Tom Cruise is on board for that movie, and along with the other cast. So who knows what'll happen. If they're going to do it, they're going to have to do it fast, because Tom Cruise isn't getting any younger, even though he can still run faster than Tony or myself.
So. But you got to admit, he's the same as Johnny Depp with Jack Sparrow. You can't really have Top Gun without Tom Cruise.
No, it's just not interesting. It's not interesting. Spinal Tap, of all things.
Yes, I'm interested to see
not
this.
Not that I knew that anybody was calling for a Spinal Tap sequel. It apparently is getting a sequel.
If you've never seen the movie, though, you've got to see it. Being a musician, you've got to see this.
Yeah, well, I've seen the first one, but you know it'll be interesting. Let's see, anything else new? I know we talked about Star Trek. There's not a whole lot of more news about that. It's just in development thus far. The Roddenberry Incorporated wants to move as quick as they can to try to get that back into theaters, because this has actually been one of the longest hiatuses that Star Trek hasn't been in a theater. So pretty interesting news. Chris Pine has always been on board. He was interviewed and said, well, you know, I haven't got the call yet, but you know, I'm always game when I get the call. So he's ready to do it. So it's really, really interesting. Some interesting stuff that's kind of come up and all those fun things. Frozen Empire is still tearing up the box office. Dune 2 is not showing any signs of letting up. Still, you know, I know people that have seen it 2 and 3 times, but
I'm telling you, man, you got to watch it.
Yeah, no. So, but the
so do I though.
Yeah, no, true. But Ghostbusters is actually making some headway in that front. So we shall see what we shall see when we see it.
And you know, you got Keanu Reeves that's going to
he's
play.
Changed his look
well
completely.
He's going to be working with the Marvel and DC.
Have you seen him recently? He's cut his hair. It's like he's got like spiky
he's
hair
back
now
to
speed
it? Point
look.
Break look.
Yeah, he's actually cut his hair. It's like he's got spiky hair now. But I saw a picture of him, and he's doing Constantine 2. So Keanu Reeves will be doing Constantine 2, but as a much older character, clearly, because he's much older. So Hugh Grant is going to play not that I knew we needed one, in a Tony the Tiger movie in Jerry Seinfeld's Pop-Tart. They're great. Yeah. No, in Jerry Seinfeld's Pop-Tarts movie. So that'll be interesting as well. So lots of fun movie news that are coming out. Inside Out 2 trailer also released. If you were interested in Inside Out 2, they are releasing a new character called Anxiety. Not that anybody needed a character named Anxiety, but it's just interesting. That was actually my least favorite of all the Pixar movies, I think. Did you see that one?
Yeah, it was Blumhouse is bringing out the Wolfman
and Pooh, another Pooh movie, right?
Yeah, Pooh, Blood and Honey 2.
Did you see the first one?
I have not, but man, I'm excited about this. I gotta see it, because I like any time you do a weird take like that on it, and I love like horror B films.
Yeah,
they're
Well, according to the Venom news, that this movie is being brought out because of more of the contractual agreement behind it, not necessarily that they want to come out. Tom Hardy will be at the helm to play Venom yet again.
Vin Diesel has announced that Fast and Furious 11 will be the last in the series.
I read about that. And it needs to be. If you go look at the box office numbers, this is the lowest scoring. The Fast and Furious 10, or what was known as Fast X, for those that don't know Roman numeral, this was the lowest scoring Fast and the Furious in the franchise. And just, it was, I thought 10 was supposed to be a part one, part two. Am I wrong? Are they not doing a part two and they're just going to 11 now?
I don't know if they're not going to take it in the way of like Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, where it was part one, part two. If you're just going to see 11 as a continuance of 10, or how that's going to go.
Well, no, because so I just looked it up. I don't know if this is real or not, but I looked it up. I guess it is a part two. Or there will be a part two.
So I guess
two.
They're just going another way of saying 11 because it's the 11th movie, even so though it's a second part.
It's supposed to release, and this came out, I don't know, this came out later last year, but at April 4, 2025 is what it says. But they could just make that Fast and the Furious 11, so I don't know.
So other cool thing is... now Scream 7 is in talks with Courtney Cox about bringing her into that one.
I did hear that. And I like...
And that's cool because I like the dynamic between those two.
I like Nev Campbell and Courtney Cox together. It did piss me off when they killed off David Arquette. If you haven't seen it, sorry.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, David Arquette in the last movie. I did not like that. I thought that was he was a staple that just made the movies fun. But he's definitely dead. Usually they bring him back. Usually they, he's not dead. He's definitely dead this time. And he definitely.
Not like Han from Fast and Furious dead.
No, he's definitely dead. Yeah. No, there was no doubt about that he was not dead in this movie. So unlike the other one. Hey.
Thundercats is coming out. Oh, yeah. Reboot of that, and it's supposed to stick true.
Is it a cartoon or live action?
As far as I'm understanding, it's a cartoon.
Cartoon. Okay, so...
But it's supposed to stay true to the original...
Certain people aren't behind it, like the Masters of the Universe travel.
That was horrible.
Which
Kevin
broke
Smith,
my heart.
Come on, man.
Which broke my heart because he's such a comic dude. He's such a comic
Looney
Tune.
Well, that's like been his life.
That just absolutely loves the heritage of movies and stuff like that. And within the first few seconds, He-Man gets slaughtered. So, I did not understand the direction he took that one in. But anyway.
I think he is just trying to appease the woke generation.
Right. So, I don't know. Who knows? So,
Sonic
the
Hedgehog 3.
I don't know if part two has been fully dismissed, not on the Fast and the Furious X. I'm kind of reading as we go here in some of my source news here, but because X did so poorly and was so poorly received, there may not be a part two of that. They may just jump right into 11 and just close the gap. The problem with it, though, I read an article with Ludacris yesterday, where he had said the X was so open-ended, such an open-ended cliffhanger, it's going to be quite hard to ignore the things that happened, so to speak, and what happened in the ending of that movie. So just there's a lot of people literally hanging off cliffs if you haven't seen the movie. So in literal speak. But the box office did so poorly. A lot of that testament, a lot of people are blaming the villain, the main villain, Jason Momoa, in this movie, just because he just did his worst Joker impression that's ever been seen throughout the movie without makeup, and it just wasn't a good fit for what they were trying to do. The Rock has said he is not coming back to that franchise. He will come back to the Hobbs and Shaw. That's his private spinoff with Jason Statham. I don't think he and Vin Diesel play in the same sandbox so well. So
every time you say that Hobbs and Shaw, I just immediately think they should make a Calvin and Hobbes movie.
There needs to be a Calvin and Hobbes movie.
But jumping back to the Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey, they have actually confirmed a 3 already.
Jeez, I didn't even.
So the horror will continue.
People just like horrible movies. All right, so
That's always been true.
Jumping into our technology discussion, Tony and I bored you on episode 13 thoroughly, which is now our lowest scoring episode, or almost our lowest scoring episode, with correcting the room versus room correction. So with that being said, we probably won't discuss room correction today. But, yeah, so
that is correct.
But you still need to correct the room. Anyway, so I think we're going to stay away from said room acoustics topic. But if you, we'll cover, what we're going to do is kind of split some of these topics up and then surf in and out of them, you know, just to kind of keep it moving and keeping different. You know, the most fun that I had on the last show was the RHEL 3D topic. It's still one of the coolest things out there part that you can do to an existing home theater if you haven't done it. You know, RHEL 3D is just absolutely awesome, and I highly suggest. And if you want to do the RHEL 3D challenge, give us a call. We'll bring out a RHEL subwoofer, hook it to your center channel so you can hear the difference for yourself and you can be a believer just like everybody else. I will win this challenge. One, I cheat. I only offer challenges that I know I'm going to win. And number two, I cheat. I only do challenges that I know we're going to win. It is impossible for it not to sound better by adding that subwoofer.
And the way you say it, cheaters always win and winners always cheat?
No, I'm not really. It's just it's more just like rigging funny. The outcome, kind of like the NFL. So
And another thing that we won't discuss.
Right. So the RHEL 3D, the RHEL 3D challenge, just it's simple. We hook up a RHEL T7 or T9 to your current center channel scenario. We do a quick recalibration inside your settings, and we throw the gauntlet down.
We will save your old settings.
Yes, we will save the old setup. Yeah, don't worry about messing it up, but you will see the difference by adding a RHEL 3D subwoofer. So we'll do a 3D challenge when we do that. And you'll have a lot of fun. So
yeah, and honestly, I know we say we won't lose this challenge. Really, the reason that we say that is because once you hear it, you're really going to say to yourself, "Wow, I didn't realize what I was truly missing." Till you let me hear this.
Yeah, so the 3D challenge, very similar to the Kaleidoscape challenge. If you want to do a Kaleidoscape and 3D challenge, then let us know. We'll do all the things.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, this is one of those things where also, you know, go into this challenge knowing that once you hear this, once you see this, you can't go back
from
what you've seen.
You can't unhear it, yeah. You can't undo it.
You know, sometimes ignorance is bliss, and sometimes, you know, information empties my wallet.
Yep, so the RHEL 3D challenge, so that's coming out. Let's talk about projectors and screens today. So we get a lot of questions about projection and screens. A new kid on the block, hot projector on the market is
so
now
this. This is probably going to go into a two-part, though, because just projectors alone is going to take up a lot of time.
You know, we'll see. We'll kind of skate. Yeah, we'll skate into it possibly. I mean, maybe not, but we'll just see. Right now, a new category that we get asked about quite a bit is short throw projection. Everybody wants to know about short throw projection because it's laser and it's typically at a decent price point. And I will tell you this, there are certain applications where I enjoy short throw projection, you know, and I
mean,
I thought you were going to say something, but
I was going to say it's, you know, short throw projectors. I'm not going to crap on them because, you know, they're actually really cool.
Well, you won't see a picture if you do.
but what I mean is that if you're in a room
way
where
easier to do that on a short throw than one that's hanging from the ceiling, by the way,
exactly. But what I was going to say though, is that in a room where you want to go up to a 135 inch screen, but you don't have the throw distance, They're a great problem solver.
100% need to be put in the problem solver category. Do not put one of these in your room if you have the distance and you've been wired for a projector. Just don't do it. It's a problem solver. It's I've got a 12 by 12 bedroom, but I want 130 inch screen, and it's not wired for it. It's not wired for projector, and I have no
attic
space.
You got the
wall
space for it, but you just don't have the throw distance for it.
That's where the short throw projector comes into play. I would not pick a short throw projector in any circumstances over a traditional projector. Why? Glad you asked.
Hey, why would you choose that over a short throw projector?
I'm glad you asked, Tony. It's a great question.
Thank you.
So the reason why is because the lens, even in a cheaper standard projector, is better than a short throw projection lens. It just is.
Well, if you're trying to go for that cinema feel, that's what you see in a cinema. There's not a box sitting at the front of the stage.
More feeling sound and look. Yeah.
You know, there's not a short throw projector sitting there throwing the image up on
there.
Well,
the thing,
you know,
so
you've got
again, it's marketed as a laser TV or UST.
Yeah, it's
and it's not a TV, and it's not a laser TV. It is a laser, but again, I would say it belongs in the problem solver category, not necessarily a hey, I'm wired for a projector, let's put one in category. They are typically very bright. Very saturated, but they're using plastic optics and mirrors to create said image, which could even get blurry around the corners if you're not careful.
I think it falls into the same category as like the wireless TVs, where you're in a situation, you know, like with a wireless TV, where you want to put a TV up where there's not power, you can't get power to it. You know, the wireless TV would be a great solution for that, but not necessarily the greatest for other situations.
So my favorite brands in this category, or our favorite brands in this category, I would say are, believe it or not, Hisense, Epson, Samsung, and then AWOL is going to be added toward the bottom of the list. There are reasons for that. AWOL is very heavily marketed. It's very well accepted, but it's also the most expensive, particularly because they like to bundle things a lot. In my opinion, the Hisense PX2 Pro will give the AWOL a run for its money in every way, shape, and form, and
you know,
you'll save $1,000.
You know what's funny about that is, like, immediately when you say Hisense, my brain just immediately thinks of the back wall at Walmart.
But they did a good job. If you can do it.
I know, but.
So here's the trick, ladies and gents. If you are going to jump into the short throw laser TV or UST category, yes, that's all the same thing because of marketing.
That's a mouthful.
Get in the triple laser category. Make sure the one that you're buying is a triple laser. So the Epson LS800.
I like back in the day when you had the three bulb projector TVs.
Very much. Actually, it's very much like that, Tony. It's actually very much for
right,
independence.
Right. I was being serious. That would be funny.
Right. So you can actually independent adjust your palette and tone down certain color tones. Otherwise, it's this cartoon oversaturated mess.
So it's funny as we're trying to get away from that technology, we're just moving up to the same technology in a different form.
Right. Yeah. No. Very, very similar. similar to that. But so if you looking at the Samsung has an L7 and an L9. The L9 is the triple laser. It is brighter. Right. And then the L7.
It looks awesome.
The L7 is a single laser. Still looks okay, but you don't have the image customization that you really need to dial and hone that in.
You know, you got to be careful at that point, which kind of brings us into our other topic, is a screen. You got to be careful about what screen, because I know everybody's going to say, oh, but they show it projecting onto
in
the
daylight,
wall in your house.
And it looks picture perfect in daylight. Yeah.
You know, I own Photoshop also, and I can make an image look amazing on your wall in a picture also. But in reality, we need to think about what actually happens.
Right. So that's what I would say is in my favorite of this category are the triple laser scenario. Everybody makes one. Epson makes one. Hisense makes one. Samsung makes one. LG makes a triple laser. I think LG is actually getting out of this category. They're not showing really any movement since they released it a few years ago. And then AWOL also makes a triple laser scenario with that category. AWOL is the heaviest, heavily marketed. The only thing that I like better about Epson and Samsung and Hisense is availability, and they make projectors and things like this all
yeah, so
the
they're
time.
Coming
so
from
Epson
what we've
makes
been
more
doing
projectors than everybody out of that whole thing. So it's kind of a weird. It's kind of weird that JVC and Sony hasn't jumped into that market yet. Sony jumped into the market, but I think they jumped into it way too early, and that was like 10 years ago when they jumped into it.
Right.
So it was like 2012, or 2013.
Sometimes when
and it was like 20 grand when they did
the first one out of the gate, you're not necessarily gonna. And in the highest.
The problem was it was really expensive. They were using a type of laser that could not be serviced in an economical way, which the jury's still out on whether these laser projectors that are coming out can be serviced in an economical way. Still
from
waiting,
everything I've seen so far, no.
Still waiting for manufacturer answers to that. So yeah, I'm going to call them out in the carpet. I've asked everybody but Sony about how to service these things in the field, and I have gotten nothing but crickets in regards to that.
So basically, with their lack of answer, the way to service it is you sell them a new unit.
Yeah, but when somebody pays 20 grand for a projector that only lasts 3 years instead of changing
the
bulb,
then you're gonna sit there and say, well, was that short throw projector really worth it?
So whether we like it or not, we've covered this several episodes ago that bulb technology is at risk of being extinct, probably towards the end of 2025. We don't know if that's going to carry over to the United States or if somebody's going to make a unit business idea, make a universal housing that can slide into there with LED instead of incandescent. But we just don't know that as of
yet. And let's revisit that. What's going on with the incandescent bulbs?
So incandescent bulbs overseas, there are a lot of factories being shut down by the government overseas.
That's going to carry over to here, too.
That are making mercury-based bulbs. They're trying to get people to move away from mercury-based lamps and now high-output mercury-based lamps. So some of this has already trickled over.
Is it the danger of the mercury? Or
it's the mercury going. It's the problem. The problem is these bulbs and lamps are not being disposed of properly.
Gotcha.
People are throwing them in landfills, which creates poisoning for the environment and the animals around it and things like that that are eating it and whatnot. And it's just all kinds
of
bad stuff related to it. Yeah.
Very toxic for the environment. So they're trying to
shut down all of that production. They already have started that, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, some areas of that country, those countries, you can't go further than 60 watts. They've already started delegating what wattage you can use in those parts of the world. I know California and Oregon has jumped on board. That's more of energy consumption and less about the mercury content. But projector bulbs are next. You know, they're next because they're high output. They're made with more mercury. It's less efficient than any bulb out there that's been made. So they'll be next For sure.
Cool.
So that's, it's not.
Okay, and that's why I wanted to revisit that to, you know, because, right, like, as that, we move into laser projectors.
And they're not moving into laser out of the goodness of their heart. They're just doing it because they know it's coming. They do. They know it's coming. Now, that the trick is to make them more affordable, because right now the cheapest laser projector you can buy is about $3,800. That's the JVC NZ3. The problem with the JVC NZ3 is that you have to use it with a silver screen to take advantage of it. You know, you have, if you're not using it with a silver screen, it doesn't look that great. But if you are using it with a silver screen, it actually looks wonderful. I have a client out there that's using one in the field, but you have to use about a $4,000 screen to make it look right. Do not use it on, you have to use the NZ3 on sizes above 100 inches. If you do use it on a 100-inch screen, it's going to be way too big or way too bright, and you cannot tame that beast down. You can't dial it down enough. Tony and I have tried on several different types of screens, and we just could not get that thing under control. In fact, we even called corporate about it to ask them about it, and they even recommended. They said, yeah, you really, really want to use a gray or silver screen with that. So
I have some news.
Okay.
From Mr. Grain.
Mm.
We will be seeing him on Monday afternoon.
Oh, so you, I will be seeing him on Monday afternoon then.
Yeah. So.
On Jesus.
So.
Actually, we won't be seeing him on Monday afternoon because we have an install on Monday afternoon. So, depending on what time Monday afternoon.
Yeah, so we need to let him know so that, you know, he's going to be in the area, so he was going to drop by and join in on us.
Yeah, I'll
have
to. So
we'll have to reach out to him.
Maybe Tuesday would be a better day or Wednesday would be a better day. But anyway, we'll get to that. But so projectors, so short throw projection, I would say problem solver category, not a end all be all or would I plan a room around it category. And then that leaves us into our normal category. So most of these folks have jumped out of the bulbs. I know Epson only has one bulb projector left in the home theater category. Everything else is laser. That would be the Epson 4050. And then you have the LS 11000, 12000. I am not saying officially or unofficially that the Epson 4050 will probably be disco this year. The reason why I say that is the 6050 was discontinued 2 years ago. The 5050 is now disco, so it's whatever's on the shelf is on the shelf. Still a phenomenal projector. And then the 4050 will probably follow suit just because it's their last bulb base, which means, insert rumor, my gut, here's my crystal ball, T-Bone. My gut tells me that Epson will probably release a cheaper laser projector in that category around Cedia time, which usually runs in around September. No, I do not know of anything coming out. I do not have a window of anything coming out. I don't have a hint of anything coming out, but my spidey sense, because of the way the bulb stuff's going, they're probably going to just deplete inventory and start working on something new is what my brain tells me. Just kind of reading into the tea leaves there. So Sony still hasn't dropped their price on their unit. They're still right around $6,000 to jump into a Sony projector. To be honest, Sony projectors have always been expensive. They've always been into like the $4,000 to $6,000 range. This is interesting that they haven't come out with a $4,000 to $5,000 range as of yet. So we'll be interested to see if anybody starts getting into the entry-level category and cost-effective category. JVC, as stated, has already done that with the NZ3. The downfall of the NZ3 is you either have to use a really big screen with it or you must use a silver screen with that projector. So, and then there's really nothing new on top of that. So going forward from that, you'll have, we get asked a lot about screen material all the time. You know, we'll have to say whether it be acoustic transparent, whether it be silver screen, whether it be bright white, whether it be studio tech, whether it be whatever. Now, if you want to use a material that's very similar to what they use in a movie cinema. There's only two brands that you need to look at, and that is Stewart Film Screen and Sievertson. Okay, Sievertson has actually made movie screens longer than even Stewart Film Screen. They've kind of come into the home market at a cost-effective screen, starts about $800 or so and kind of goes up from there. So a little bit more cost-effective. That's not to discount Screen Innovation. Screen Innovation still is a very widely used screen, popular quick ship type of screen that can get out there now, unless it's a motorized category, and that's a little bit different. But
yeah, don't be fooled by those economic brands and places like the Big A and the Big W.
Yeah, no. So the thing is if you want to use what we call reference ISF standard, then that would be the Stewart Film Screen Studio Tech 130. That is when somebody reviews a projector, that's typically what they're using as the industry standard. They're using that is a white PVC screen that's used, so a very bright screen in most cases. So you want to make sure you have a very dark room, and you can hone in on that calibration a little bit more on the projector. Otherwise, you're going to get these ghostly, hazy images if you're not careful, especially in the laser category with these high output flamethrowers like they're selling now. Now, what I will tell you about that, because I'm kind of bouncing a lot all over the place here, is when it comes to projection, right now the key word is brighter is better. The brighter your projector, the better your image is going to be. That's the key marketing word right now, lumens. You'll hear it described as lumen output, 1,800 lumens or 2,800 lumens. So
how many lemons do you recommend?
So here's the thing.
No. I'm serious.
The bigger your image, the more lumen output you want.
Right.
The smaller the image, the less lumen output you want within
reason. So if you have like a 12x12 room, your lumens don't need to be as high because it's not having to throw as far of a distance?
Unless you're using UST and you're going to do something different. But yes, 12x12 room, you're going to be maxed out about 100 inches. That's as far as you can go.
Right. Unless you go back to our short throw projector guys.
Ceiling. Now, when we're talking about throw distance, we're not talking about, where the lens from the screen, that's what we consider as throw distance. So,
but when you're mounting, though, you need to be worried about the back of the projector because that's going to affect your throw distance.
Well, sure. Yeah. No, because if you're back, you got a lot of times, and especially in a 12x12, you got to slam that sucker as far back as it'll go.
Right. Because otherwise, you're going to be down to an 85 inch TV size.
Then you may as well buy an 85 inch TV. Yeah. No. So lumen output isn't as important with a smaller screen. Yes, sports fans, even when you're talking about HDR or HDR10 or HDR10+.
That's
a category. You know my stance on this. That is a category that projectors do not belong in. They do not.
I totally agree with you.
They don't have the output or the contrast output to play in that stratosphere without the image looking dull.
I was going to say, it always looks a lot darker.
It's way darker. It's way, way darker.
Immediately, the first thing I notice when you switch to those is it drops to a darker image.
And it's clear.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Well, you know why it stretches to it? Well, it's the reason why, which since I'm glad you asked, the reason.
Once again, can you explain why?
The reason why is because it's putting your projector in a color palette that it doesn't belong in. So here's the thing. Televisions, you can create dark ink blot contrast pictures because you can shut individual portions off of that screen.
And the higher the pixels, the better, because then you can get even richer images.
Right. So let's get down to the basics for a second. Black level, when it's black, isn't actually a color in projection.
It's okay. actually the true thing that we say in art and in science, that black is the absence of color.
Correct. Black is actually an absence of light, just like what you said, absence of color. So, with that being said, it's the hardest thing for a projector to do is recreate an absence of light
or color, correct?
With a light bulb or a laser filament. So that's why projectors get that hazy image if they're overly bright, because it has the actual adverse effect. Because if you go overly bright with a projector,
you're going to wash out the image.
You can wash out the image, and you can only tame that so much. But you can only tame that by so much before it crushes all the other colors in that spectrum. So yeah, so black with a projector is actually an absence of light, and it's hard to create an absence of light with a light bulb or a light filament.
Right, because that's like, well, I mean, it's just hard to do that, because you can't turn off individual light bulbs like you can individual pixels in a screen.
Right. So typically with most projectors, they use what's called an adaptive iris, which is exactly what it sounds like. Now, an adaptive iris is literally an iris just like you have, where it kind of squints for you, where it dims the unnecessary light that's coming through that lens, so it creates that darker image. The only problem with that is if you put that at a high level or you make that effect too intense, then it crushes everything else. So that's why it's a little bit of a tricky balance.
You lose definition, you lose clarity, and you just lose that vibrant image.
Well, and a lot of people ask, well, why would I pick a projector? Well, that's a really good question. So if you do use a silver screen or a darker screen, you can actually enhance the way that looks. Now, here's a brain buster for you. I'm going to blow a lot of people's minds here. The projector that you're using is only, the image that it lets out is only as dark as the image, as the surface that it's projecting onto. Let me say that one more time. The projected light or image coming out of a projector is only as dark as the image that it's being cast onto. So therefore, if your projection screen is really bright white, it's going to be really hard for your brain. It's going to be really hard to create that crisp image without having a really dark room. Since most of the movies you're watching nowadays have the black bars, the 16:9 bars, your eyes are drawn to the lack of content on the top and the bottom, because it's an absence of picture. But it's the picture that's not being cast, the black bar, in comparison to the picture that you're looking at, is how black looks and is interpreted. So, with that being said, the darkest part of your screen is only going to be as dark as the surface you're projecting onto. So, if you use a silver or a darker screen, that contrast will be enhanced.
That's going to help like your blacks look truer to black, where the whiter the screen is or lighter the screen is.
Correct.
Your blacks start to look more gray and less.
They're not as noticeable because it's not a stark white PVC screen.
Right.
That's unused things. And even when it is a stark white PVC screen, if you're watching an IMAX filmed movie like Batman, for instance, if you go,
tell your friends about me.
Now, if you go with a darker screen, then it looks like his costume is the way it's supposed to be instead of a milky or washed out gray color on a PVC screen. Now, if you have an overly bright projector, that's hard to do. If you have an overly bright projector shining on a low gain, darker screen, it has the adverse effect because the brightness of the projector is shining onto that darker image. However, your brain interprets that as black. So black isn't actually a color. Black is an interpretation of your brain that sees, oh, that's white, that's blue, that's red, that's yellow, that's black, because of the absence of that particular color. And that's why it's hard for a projector to do that and behave that way.
Right.
Short story long. So I realized that I probably lost half of my audience there. But that's when people talk about lumens.
It's actually me snoring. That's not a sound effect.
Well, when people talk about lumens and brightness and all this other stuff, it's you having a lot of lumens in a small projection screen isn't actually a good thing, because it's hard to disperse and get rid of some of that intensity because your image is too small. So you actually want to use a larger screen with a brighter projector. That's why the ultra short throw category never really advertises 100 inch. They always say 120 or 130 or 150. That's why they're not pushing for that 100 inch screen. So now, when you're crossing that threshold of HDR and HDR10, there are actually projectors that excel at creating just those things. So JVC, for instance, has a particular patented technology called tone mapping. And what tone mapping does...
That, if you know how to use that, is amazing.
Yes. No. So JVC has a lot of cool things. One, they have screen calibration, because they have manufacturer screen IDs that you can input ahead of time, and that kind of tweaks it. It gets it about 70%, 80% there.
And if you can get there, I have certified training on
that. Yeah, Tony's actually certified by JVC to do that. So, and that's the cool part. But what tone mapping does is it says, oh, I see that you're HDR10 or HDR10 plus. Even on my best day, I can't compete with this particular type of contrast. I'm going to bring it all down to here and do this instead of that. So that's how that particular style, I'm going to bring this to an even keel of where I can produce an image. And that's why when you're using HDR10, HDR10 plus on a JVC and you've enabled tone mapping, then your movies still look crisp and clean and bright instead of having to leave it on SDR instead of HDR.
Right.
So they're the only ones that have that technology. Sony and Epson both combat that with higher lumen output and higher brightness, and they try to do this dimming, so to speak, across the board. But with that being said, it's not as effective as the JVCs. However, with the JVCs, you're in it for about $7,000 to get started with that particular type of technology. I think they're actually on sale now for $6,000 right now. But that would be the RS1100 or the NP5 is what depending on what market you're in. So a lot of fun categories on projectors. Now, if you want to mimic a cinema, most cinemas are actually using silver screens, believe it or not. That's where the term silver screen came from, was to enhance contrast, because back then they were using OG projectors that were reel to reel, really bright light bulbs and all the things. And most of the images that you were seeing are washed out, which is where the silver screen stuff started. By Severson. Severson actually started the silver screen trend, and then eventually Stewart kind of jumped on board. Now, there's a big misconception, and it really started with Screen Innovation, about ambient light rejecting technology, or ALR is what you'll see it referred to. That's a really cool product if you like watching your content with the lights on. You know, that's what it's really made for. It's made to reject off-axis light, meaning light that's not coming directly toward it, but it's off-axis from it.
that's taken me back to our conversation about short throw projectors, where you really need a screen for those to help reject that off-axis light, and so that you can actually see it the way that they show it in the advertisement.
So short throw projectors is a little bit different animal. You cannot use a short throw projector with any ALR screen. Because the reason why is because there's nothing more off-axis than a short throw projector.
Right.
So there's actually what's called a UST projection screen, meaning ultra short throw, that has these ridges that go all the way across, and you have to install them a certain way.
Yeah, and if you got really close up to it, with a magnifying glass, you can actually see where it almost looks like...
It looks like a Ruffles potato chip.
Yeah, exactly.
So what those rough ridges do is they're designed to catch the light below it, but reject the light above it or to the sides of it. So if you're going to hang your ultra short throw projector from the ceiling, which you can, it's really hard to do, but you can do that, you want to make sure you pay attention to that particular material and direction of material. Now, I am not a fan of the UST category for a few reasons. One of those reasons being it always makes the center channel placement funky, because it sits right where the center channel needs to be.
Yeah, where it should be.
However, Tony and I have actually been playing with a lot of different types of screen materials, and you can use an ultra short throw projector with an acoustic transparent screen. It can be done. We have it in our store. If you're more than welcome to come check it out, that's in our what we call the 12 by 12 room, where we have a 130-inch screen in that room, and with a short throw projector, and all of our speakers are still behind the screen, so high and tight, voices are coming from where they're supposed to, and it's actually a really cool effect.
Sweet.
So, again, I keep the ultra short throw in the problem solving category. Now, I am not 100% sold on laser technology as of yet. We have had a few failures in the field to where it made it where we had to send the projector off for service. It could not be serviced in the field, which to me inconveniences the client a little bit. But so just make sure you research and you talk to your local dealer and see which one kind of fits that territory there. Most of them say they have 15,000 to 20,000 hour lifespan. I haven't seen one make it to that as of yet. It's a very new technology. I have two in the field that have to be pulled down because of catastrophic failure that are 30 feet in the air. Both of those are in the laser category. They're about three and a half, four years old. So I'm not quite sure if that particular thing is baked as of yet. However, even so, if I were picking a projector, I would probably still, you have to pick one out of that category unless you're going to go used with something. So, but what makes the biggest difference between a traditional projector that hangs from the ceiling and an ultra short throw is the lens makes all the difference in the world. The bigger the diameter of the lens, the better your projection image. So if in layman's terms, if you're looking for the projector that's going to give you the deeper picture, and you're looking at Sony and you're looking at Epson and you're looking at JVC, have a look at the millimeter of the lens, because typically if you can't make your mind up, then go with the one with the larger lens, because your picture is going to appear deeper if you go with a larger lens. Better optics, better the picture, regardless of the hokey pokey technology that they put in there for processing and contrast and all that stuff. All of those projection companies lie about their contrast anyway. There's no such thing as a million to one contrast. Sorry, Epson, there's just not, because if it did exist, it would burn your retinas out of your soul. So it just that type of thing. So don't get caught up in lumens. Don't get caught up in the fake contrast stuff. Look at the lens. Let the lens be your guide when making those particular choices with that. Now, if you're asking Tony or myself what my favorite screen material, what his favorite screen material is, I'm torn between silver and acoustic transparent. Those are my two favorites.
Right. You know, I'm the same way. It's kind of a toss-up between the two because it can depend on which speakers you're going with on that. Because if you're going with tower speakers, you don't need acoustic transparent screen.
There is a difference between acoustic transparent and an acoustic screen. So, and there's acoustic transparent, and then there's an acoustic perforated screen. In all cases, I prefer the acoustic transparent because it's more of a speaker-like cloth material, very much so like what's on the front of your speaker. Now, an acoustic screen or an acoustic perforated screen has itty-bitty pinholes that go all the way across your screen, very much like what you would see in a commercial cinema. We have found that that is not the best technology unless you're using a horn tweeter type of speaker, very much like a Klipsch or a compression driver like a JBL Synthesis.
Correct.
That'll work fine
for
you because of reflection that comes back behind the screen cavity. And the reason why is because there's only so many pinholes they can put in it before you start seeing pinholes. Now, if it is that type of screen with
that, or you run out of material to put holes in.
Right. Well, correct. If it is a pinhole style of material, then you want to make sure you're not sitting at close proximity to it because your eyes will catch the pinholes because it's like black. It's like pixels that are dead, you know, in a TV screen in some cases. So you want to make sure you got a little bit of seating distance. Now, acoustic transparent, you're fine. You may notice at close range that they're not as quite as sharp as a PVC screen. However, the cool effect of having the center channel directly behind the center of the screen is so cool, and you can't unsee it or unhear it once you experience it because the voices are coming from exactly where they're supposed to be. So that's just a really, really neat effect you get with an acoustic transparent.
So, awesome. Very
cool. A lot of cool vendors out there. Severson makes an amazing acoustic transparent. Seymour AV, they're kind of the new kid on the block. They're becoming an industry standard for acoustic transparency, but they are very new. Stewart Film Screen is starting to move away from perforation. They came out with something called the G2 that is an acoustic transparent without the pinholes. It's more of the speaker cloth material. Screen Innovations actually makes a silver acoustic transparent, but I think theirs is more of a woven material, so you may lose a little bit of sharpness with that particular style. And then everybody makes the perforated if you want the perforated. People seem to be moving away from the perforated one because in most home theaters, you're typically sitting relatively closer in proximity to that particular screen, so you usually can't get far enough away back from it where you're not seeing those pinholes. But if you have a larger room, then it'll work just fine. So, and then EPV is another good screen. Also, we do have a Define Audio house brand screen that's actually developed by Screen Innovations that we use for a zero edge and acoustic transparency. If you want to save a little coin, it'll cost you about half the cost of one of the other brands, about $1,500 or $1,200 to $1,500, depending on what size you want. That's also an amazing choice for those that just, you know, don't need the name brand badge at the bottom of the corner. That one works really well. We use that in the field all the time. We also have one of those in our showroom, and it looks phenomenal. So it really just depends on where you're at. I prefer the acoustic transparent just because when you're using acoustic transparent, you do lose a little bit of screen gain, meaning the light disperses in a little bit softer tone, and it's not as bright if you're using a high lumen output projector.
Right.
So a lot of coverage on that. There's still a lot to go into with projector and screen relationships. It's usually described like this. Your projector is usually a dating relationship, 4 bolts in a Craigslist ad or a trade-in with us, or your screen is typically the kid that never moves out of the house. So the screen you pick out first is always the crucial element to that conversation because the screen is one of those things where it's the thing you're never going to find a buyer for, and it's really hard to move even if you do. So I would say choose wisely on your screen. That's more of the investment than the projector. Technology changes on projectors all the time. So, unless you've got something else on that, T.
No, no, no. You said it quite well. Everything that you said is exactly what I would say. So I can't really, you know, contrast that with anything. You put everything into perspective very well, especially the way you described a acoustic screen versus an acoustic transparent screen.
Yeah, no, the acoustic part, there's another name for that. That name escapes me because we've kind of moved away from that altogether. But it's they used to be called I want to say it was acoustic perforated, but there's probably another term if you look it up. But the acoustic transparent is the more popular key term, and that's that right. Speaker cloth or speaker mesh material. Some of them do come in gray. A lot of manufacturers moved away from gray with this particular type of screen because you do have a little bit of gain loss because it is a transparent material. So you also want to be careful on very well-lit rooms with a transparent material because your projector struggles a little bit more.
You do have to typically pump up the brightness of your...
Just a little bit. Not in an extreme
way. But don't overdo
way.
It because yeah. then it washes out
Again,
the image.
Again, we tried a Z3, that NZ3, with an acoustic transparent, and it was too bright. We could not...
I could never get the color right. No. Now, even with... all the certifications
and JVC on the phone. We even called JVC to say, "Hey man, can you help me out with this thing?" And got them on the phone to do all the things with that. Nothing against that projector. It's that projector is a tricky projector to dial in. It is attractive because of the price point that it's at. So,
right. And you know, it's one of those that it really does depend heavily on certain screens to give its best showing.
Yeah, the gentleman that bought our demo actually had a black diamond, and I even told him as a disclaimer, I was like, "Man, I have
it's
yet
probably not gonna
I
look
have
good on
yet
there.
To dial this thing in on a screen as of yet, and it looked it looked amazing on his black diamond. So
yeah,
it worked really, really well for that.
And it looked awesome.
Yeah, no, it worked really, 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 really well for the black diamond. So anyway. So lots of fun things, lots of cool things out there with projector technology and screen technology, but it is a healthy relationship. You don't want to go super cheap on your screen and really expensive on your projector, because a really good screen will make a cheaper projector look the way it's supposed to, and it'll make a really good projector look, you know, the way it needs to look. So, but if you will not regret going with a good screen.
Yeah, I mean, really, because a screen is something that is more like what we call a marriage, you know, you really want to spend maybe a little bit more on that, put a little bit more of your budget towards that.
Typically about $1,500 to $2,500 can get you in most cases, unless you go on the higher end like a black diamond.
Right,
or a
for
slate.
Sure. But, you know, and you know, there are bargain wins out there and all, and I'm not crapping on those at all. You know, just saying that there are some parts of our cinema that when we're putting it together that you want to put more money into.
Well, it's the thing you stare at.
Well, it's also, as we've talked about before, it's something that's hard to get out of your house, because once you put it together, it's not a good idea to take it apart, because it's kind of like when you get one of those mattresses that are in the box, and as soon as you cut the plastic, it like just explodes.
If there's anybody that could fit something back into the original box, I think it would be
probably
I think it would be Tony. If anybody could figure it out, it would be him. Or it's like folding a comforter or a fitted sheet, you know.
Oh,
it's just,
dude,
I
gotta show you. You know when they say you might be a psycho if you can fold a fitted sheet? Sign me up. Get the straight jacket.
Oh, wow.
I can show you how to do it.
Great. So I think we're good. I think we're good on this one. I think we got given you a lot to digest on this particular situation.
And please feel free to send us questions on this one, because if we missed anything on this or you want us to elaborate more on something, please let us know, because we would love to.
One more thing about projectors is the mount.
It's never just one more
thing. Go with a good projector mount. Do not buy a cheap projector. Do not hang something that weighs 30 to 40 pounds over your family's head with a $50 mount. Just don't do it. Get a Chief. Chief makes the best mounts in the industry. Get an RPMAU.
Unless you're trying to get rid of one of your family members.
Well, if you're trying to get rid of one of your family members, then use...
You got a bigger problem anyway.
Then use Zip Toggles or Wall Dogs and then hang your projector with a cheap mount. Yeah. All of the above will be... You'll be successful with killing said family member. We did not say that unless... We just didn't say that. So anyway... Use a good mount, a good projector.
We do not condone that activity at all.
Use a good screen, and you're not going to regret it. You know, if you follow this formula, rule number one, make an experience. Rule number two, listening is subjective. Rule number three, take Facebook forums lightly. And then rule number four, use the right tool for the job. Rule number five, listen to more podcasts.
Listen with an open mind.
Listen with an open mind. None of the information that we're giving you is poor information. It's based on information that's coming out of brains that have been built thousands of these rooms. So.
We do our best to be unbiased, but we're like everybody else. We have what we like and what we don't like.
Stewart Film Screen, Sievertson, EPV, Screen Innovations, all wonderful screens. Elite Screens also falls into the budget-friendly category.
Aren't those actually designed by Screen Innovations?
No. Elite Screen and EPV are actually connected.
I got it mixed up.
No, so EPV and Elite are very similar. Elite's like the Best Buy brand, and the EPV is kind of where Elite leaves off and then jumps into better screen categories and material and all that stuff. But yes, very much related. Stewart Film Screen is going to be the higher. Actually, out of all of them, Screen Innovation is the most expensive out of all of them, even more so than Stewart. But it's just.
But once again, remember that price does not always mean better. You've got to take a look at it for yourself, because also remember, our eyes are different too.
If you are in the market for a new projection screen, call us. We do have screen samples we can bring out to your house and actually hold up to your screen so you can see the contrast for yourself.
Like what the difference in the different screens is exactly. And how it compares to a screen you may already own.
Yep. And if your screen's probably 10, 15 years old, you may want to look at it. A lot of times those especially if it's a white screen, those things will start to yellow because of oxidation and air.
Or if you have a popcorn machine in your room.
Please don't install popcorn machines in your cinema. And if you do, put it toward the back of the room near the return air. Do not put it next to your projection screen under any way, shape, form, or circumstances. You will get oil on your screen.
And there is no way to clean that without damaging the screen.
Nope, no way to clean them. Or if you're a smoker, do not smoke in your theater room because you will turn your screen yellow.
In fact, it's
just a thing.
In fact, if you do smoke in your house, which is your choice, just make sure in your theater room that you have an air purifier of some sort that's running that keeps that stuff out of the air as much as possible.
You will discolor your screen if you do that. And also, if you have a screen that's in direct sunlight can actually discolor a screen and turn it to yellow. So just because of oxidation.
Yeah, just like it does paper on the dashboard of your car.
Yep, absolutely. So that's the thing is just so there are tips and tricks to do that. Again, if you want to see the contrast, please invite us out. We'll be happy to come out and take a look and hold one up to show you the difference between what you're using versus what you could use. The REL 3D challenge, got a lot of challenges coming up this month. REL 3D, we're going to lay the gauntlet down. We're going to start that in April. That'll be the REL 3D challenge. We're also going to do the Kaleidoscape challenge we're going to piggyback that with the Kaleidoscape challenge. And if you want us to, if you're in the market for a new screen, you're not sure what to do, and your ears are smoking because of the forum banter and you don't know which way to go, give us a call. We actually have color palettes we can bring out to your house so you can shoot onto that so you can see it in your own home on your own screen and see the contrast for yourself. So I think that's a cast.
I think we have covered a tremendous amount of stuff, and once again, you know,
a lot of times Tony looks like his head's spinning, which is why we need to do a video cast.
You know, like sometimes I'm listening, and you know, I openly admit that I don't know everything, because if so, you know, I would be in a different world than I am now. But, you know, and also I'm always learning, because everybody says stuff in a different way.
Right.
And will trigger my brain to think about something. So that's why sometimes when you're sitting there and you're talking, you know, I'm like, you know, my head may be down a little bit and all, but I'm processing what you're saying, because you may have said it in a different way that I haven't heard it before, and it's given me more information to where I can provide people with better information in the future.
When I try to explain something like this, I try to dumb it down and use terms that, not really dumb it down, I just try to use general terms.
I was about to say, that's
instead
not really.
Instead of using over technical things and using a jargon that most may not be familiar with, I try to use terms that you would be familiar with. Like, for instance, when you disperse light, when you go to a smaller screen, it's like a mag light. If you twist the head of a flashlight, the beam gets broader or itty bitty. Well, when the beam stays itty bitty, it's very intense. When it goes abroad, then it gets less intense. But it's less intense, but it goes more abroad. Same thing happens when you go with a larger screen with your projection screen. If you, the bigger you go, the less brightness you'll have. Meaning you may want to go with a brighter projector category. But anyway, we'll cover this in version 2. That's a cast. I'm not going to bore you. Have a happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. And
hope that you also enjoyed Zombie Jesus Day.
This today is Zombie Reserved Day. You know, because we have to have a reserved holiday now. Observed holiday, sorry.
So we're going to observe
yesterday.
How Zombie Jesus actually spends his time.
Well, actually, there's no biblical record of the date. It's just a date Hallmark picked out for, or who somebody picked out for that. But anyway, we don't want to offend anybody. We want to stay out of that territory. That's a cast.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Enjoy your Monday, and we'll see you when we see you. I'm Justin.
And I'm Tony.
That's a cast.
Last word.
Last word.
Word.